Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I may speak, and that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye may know my affairs, how I do, Titius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that ye might be comfort in your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And we know that God will bless again the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. As I say, we've come to the end of our Behind Enemy Lines series. I know it's been a bit disjointed because of things that have happened in my life, and we maybe haven't had the fluency we'd have liked to have had. We began looking at the conflict, the war that's raging in the heavenlies. We looked at some of the characters. We spent a night looking at Satan. We looked at angels. We've looked at demons. Then we looked at the conduct and various activities of Satan and his demons in ways in which they impact God's people, unbelievers, and even in the church. And then we began to look at the clothing, which was really what we wanted to center on, the whole armor of God. Tonight we're going to look at the communication, a wonderful way in which to finish off the study on the whole armor of God. And when you think about the whole armor, really Paul is talking about a battle, and he may well have been looking at one of the guards that to which he was chained and just looked at his clothing and was going down through it and had this picture of the battle. And of course we need to have the whole armor of God on for the battle. But one thing that's important in the battle is communication. Good communication is important to make sure that the men on the front line can keep in touch with headquarters, that they might know the orders, that they may well indeed know the will of the commander in general, that they may be in touch with him, and to make sure that every command that they obey and every step that they take is in complete authority or complete tandem with his will and his desire. And of course, the parallel is very obvious, isn't it? You're in the battle, you want to be in touch with headquarters. You need to have the communications open. You want to be able to pray, and that's how we keep in touch with the Lord. When we face those awkward and troublesome and difficult times, how wonderful it is and how important it is for God's people to pray. And when you're in the battle, you need the whole armor, but you need to be able to pray. And I don't think that prayer is an additional weapon, as some would say. I think that prayer is essential to them all. We read that, we sang that hymn earlier on. It's slightly changed in Songs of Victory, but normally it reads like this: put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls our danger, be never wanting there. And there's a link, obviously, between the whole armor and between prayer. Prayer should be to us what air is to the soldier in the battlefield. He doesn't have to think about breathing, he just breathes. He doesn't have to study it at all. He just does it. It's natural. It's as natural. And that's what prayer should be for the child of God. Something we naturally do, just like breathing in air, that we are in touch with the Lord in every step that we take. The armor of God is not magical. It's not mechanical. And so when you put on the whole armor, we need to be in prayer to be effective in the battlefield. It displays our total dependence in the Lord. Jim Elliot said this: God is still on the throne and we're at his footstool, and there's only a knee's breadth in between. And so we need to have the communications right. And before I look at that this evening, I think it's interesting to point out that when you study the whole armor, all these different items, the six items, they really all speak of Christ as well. We began in verse 14 with the girdle of truth. And of course, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We then had the breastplate of righteousness. Paul talks about not having mine own righteousness. And the righteousness he had was Christ's righteousness, which we receive by faith. And so you look at truth, you see Christ. You look at righteousness, you look at peace, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul says again in Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. Then we read about the shield of faith. And you remember the Lord appeared unto Abraham in Genesis 15 and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. And so you see Christ as the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Christ is described as the author of salvation in Hebrews chapter 2. And the author of salvation in Hebrews is also the captain of their salvation, Hebrews 2 verse 10. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And of course, Christ is called in John 1, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when you put on the whole armor, you're putting on Christ. And if you want to know about the armor, study Christ. Because you can see Christ in the whole armor. It's interesting if you study the fruit of the Spirit. Christ is in the fruit of the Spirit. Every part of clusters of fruit that Paul talks about, you'll find that every one of them speak of Christ as well. And so when you put on the whole armor, you're putting on Christ. And as I said, we need the armor and we need prayer as well. And we can never overemphasize the need for prayer. You discover that we have so much. You discover in Colossians 2 verse 10 that we are complete in Him. In 2 Peter 1 verse 3, we have everything we need. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We are complete in Him. We have everything we need to live for Christ. When you come to the book of Ephesians, and we spent a number of weeks studying it some time ago, we're super blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We're super loved. Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We're forgiven and redeemed. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have rebounding in wisdom. Ephesians 1 verse 8, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13, we have power beyond our imagination. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We are recipients of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole armor of God. And yet when we come to the Paul said there's something more, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ephesians begins in the heavenlies and ends up with you and I on our knees. And I think Paul's emphasizing here, you've been blessed and you have all these wonderful things that you have in Christ. And you've got the whole armor of God. But remember, don't forget about prayer. Prayer is vital. Prayer is essential. Prayer is never an additional extra. It's vital for a spiritual walk with the Lord. And it's vital in the battle that you and I are engaged in. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Eternal One, the Almighty One, needed to pray. We're told in Mark and in many other places, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. If Christ felt He had to take time in the morning to pray, and He was the Almighty One, how much more do you and I need to pray? And I think that's what Paul is trying to get at here. We need to pray. For the armor to be effective, for you and I to be effective, it really needs to be put on with prayer. And you see how prayer has been such a blessing. Abraham with 318 defeated the Kenites in Genesis 14. Gideon with 300 was able to beat the Midianites. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Joshua knew the power of prayer. Back in Exodus, held up the arms of Moses going back to the battle there. And so I'm trying to show you the need for prayer, and we can never overemphasize the need for prayer. Let's just break these verses down very quickly this evening. I want to say something about the seasons we are to pray in. And Paul breaks this down so nicely. Look at verse 18. Praying always. All seasons. Springtime is growth time. When the Lord's blessing and there's growth. Wintertime is cold and hard and bitter. It's a trying time. Summertime when the heat's on. autumn time when the winds of adversity are blowing, in all seasons, you and I need to be in prayer. Praying always. We can pray at all times. I'm sure you heard the story about the wee boy at the wedding who said the man ended up with 16 wives. Four richer, four poorer, four better, and four worse. But you know, we can pray when things are rich, when we're poor, when we're better, and we're worse. In sickness and in health. Whatever the situation, whatever the need, whatever the circumstance, you and I can pray. Praying always. Paul again said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What a difficult command to obey. Because that's what that is. It's a command. It means don't worry about anything. Don't be over anxious about anything. I read this just today. I've joined the new Don't Worry Club. And now I hold my breath. And I'm so scared I'm going to worry that I'm worried half to death. And that's not how we deal with worry. We have to deal with worry in a different way. We're to worry about nothing. And we are to pray about everything. And so you can pray in all seasons. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Jonah said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You see, we're to pray in all seasons. And then again in verse 18, you see some of the specifics of prayer. Praying always with all prayer. And the word for prayer there is the devotional side of prayer. It's recognizing the Almighty God, his power and his sufficiency. It literally means all kinds of prayer. Family prayer, private prayer, silent prayer, audible prayer, mealtime prayer, church prayer meetings, set times, emergency prayers, all kinds of prayers. Praying always with all kinds of prayer, and prayers of commission, prayers of thanksgiving, intercession, supplication, petition, all kinds of prayers, all kinds of postures. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We can pray at all times and all kinds of prayers. And then he mentions a specific item. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication speaks of praying for a specific need. And I think the Lord likes us to do that. Sometimes our prayers are so general that if the Lord answered, we wouldn't know. And when we pray specifically and God answers specifically, then God gets the glory. And the Lord would want us to be specific in our prayer. Sometimes prayers are so general, I think they miss the target. The Lord would want us to be specific in our prayers. Now I know there's sometimes we have to be general, but I think you know what I mean this evening. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. As I say, the word means a specific type of prayer, a particular request. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When God answers prayer, it's God that is glorified. And I believe he's glorified when we pray specifically. We're doing this very simply. You see the seasons at all times. You see the specific. And then you see the need to see, because he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. Since the word watching is a military term, it's used of a sentry on duty. How can you pray effectively? You need to have your eyes open. I don't think it just means praying with your eyes open, although that can be okay. We know we usually pray with our eyes closed, but it's seeing what's going on in the world, seeing the needs, having a discernment, understanding what's going on, and you can pray specifically. When you're interested, when you have that perception, because you're watching what's going on. I'm told the word watching actually means lying sleepless. Lying sleepless. Have you ever lost sleep because you're praying for someone? Some burden is heavy upon your heart. I know some of you have. And you couldn't sleep. And that's the idea, just lying sleepless. The words used in Mark 13 by the Lord, take ye heed, watch and pray again in Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray. It's used in Hebrews of elders, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And then it goes on to say, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. And the idea is the elders are watching over the flock, and if there's a problem or a difficulty or if somebody's going through hard times, they lose sleep over it. And that's so true. So true. Have you ever had a sleepless night because you've been burdened and concerned and praying for someone? The idea behind the word perseverance is also the idea of watching. You're looking for the answer. You're praying it through, if I can use that terminology. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. We're watching intensely and steadfastly. We're watching no matter what type of prayer it is, and we're not just going to give up. The story is often told about George Mueller, who prayed for a man for 65 years who wasn't saved until after Mueller's death. And we have many scriptures to tell us to be continually in prayer. Luke 21, verse 36, watch you therefore and pray always. Acts 6, verse 4, we will give ourselves continually in prayer. Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we're always on our knees praying. John MacArthur said this. He says, at one time I wondered how anyone could pray at all times. Now I find very few times when I'm not conscious of God. Everything I see and experience in my life simply becomes a prayer. It is something I share with my best friend, something I instantly communicate with God. If I'm tempted, I immediately find that temptation results in a prayer. Lord, you know what I'm going through, help me. Life becomes an ascending prayer. All life's thoughts, deeds, and circumstances become a point of communication with God. Praying always. Praying without ceasing. And so you see the seasons of prayer. Praying always. You see the specifics with all prayer and supplication. You see the seeing and watching thereunto with all perseverance. And then you see the Spirit mentioned here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And it's Spirit with a capital S. Jude 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying in a manner consistent with who Christ is and what his will is. Holy Spirit understands our weaknesses, energizes us for prayer. Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, it should be, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The opposite of praying in the Spirit, sometimes it's easier understood if you think of the opposite, is praying in the flesh, that we may consume it in our own lusts, James talked about. He says, you ask and you have not. And the reason you have not is because you're praying for yourself. It's a fleshly prayer. You're not thinking of God's glory. You're not thinking of what's best for the Lord. What's going to glorify him? We're thinking of what's good for me. And that's praying in the flesh. Something that makes me look good. Are you praying for something that genuinely will glorify the Lord? And of course, this is so important. If you can get God's people filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, what a prayer life they would have. Can you imagine like the church in Acts when there was even the whole meeting, there was a shaking in the meeting. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit and God's people prayed. And God just has to answer prayers like that. Because they were praying in the Spirit. It's wonderful when you think of the weapon of prayer that we have. You see the seasons, you see the specifics, the word see, you see the Spirit. And so I'm doing this quickly. You see the scope. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's not easy, sure it's not. Not just for the ones you like. Not just for the ones you get on with. All saints. Sometimes in these church calendars you have these holy days. And All Saints Day is a day that they have. Well, every day is All Saints Day for the child of God. We're to pray for each other. Now, Paul practiced what he preached, or what he penned. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's praying, of whom the whole family and earth and heaven is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so Paul prayed for all the saints. We have a common salvation, Jude 1 verse 3. And what I mean by common is not common in the sense of ordinary, but it's something we all share. Saved by the grace of God, we have common problems. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Who better to pray for each other than God's people? We have a common salvation. We have common problems. Who understands us better than each other? Outside of the Lord, of course. He understands us more than anyone else. Doctors say that when a patient comes in with an ailment and they think they're the only one that has it, they become depressed. And when they realize that it's common, then it gives them a lift. When they realize other people are going through the same thing. Other people have passed through the same battle. And when it comes to praying for God's people, you discover that God's people are going through these battles, and many have gone through the battles that you're facing. Real battling prayer looks away from selfishness and self-centeredness and thinks about the needs of others. And that is so important. I'm told during the Spanish Civil War, just before the Spanish Civil War, there was a lot of people going to see psychiatrists. When war broke out, apparently it nearly diminished to nothing, because the problems were so big elsewhere that they forgot about their own problems. And sometimes it's good for us, like Job, to when he prayed for his friends, the Lord really blessed him. And it's always good for us to pray for each other and to pray for all saints. And then you see verse 19, praying for the servant of God. And Paul wasn't ashamed to ask for prayer. He says, and for me. He wants all saints prayed for. But he says, don't forget about me. And what's Paul looking prayer for? Now, Paul's in prison. And he's chained to a Roman guard. I know what I would have wanted. I would have wanted to be out the next morning. But Paul's a far better man than me. And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is chained to a prisoner, and he wants to be able to serve the Lord where he is. And I think what was killing Paul was, what am I going to do for the Lord here? And he says, pray for me that I may be used of God here, that I can open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And even that his chains would speak and witness to others, because that's why he was held in prison. And Paul is asking for prayer. There was distance, because Paul was in a Roman prison. There was dread, he was chained to a guard, and there was difficulty. But prayer isn't hindered or inhibited by distance, dread, or difficulties. And that's the wonderful thing about prayer. And Paul, as I say, wants boldness to be able to proclaim the gospel. Look finally at the stability hoped for in this passage, verse 21. But that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Titius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Think of this man called Titius. I didn't look it up. I'm not sure if he's mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. I didn't look it up. But he had a simple job, to take Paul's letter to the believers in Ephesus. What a simple job, and what an important job. He would make sure that this message would get through. And no matter how unimportant or simple the task is, if it's done for the Lord, it becomes very special. And this man had a very practical work to do, and yet Paul valued him so much. Sometimes there's what they have called the Hero of Britain Awards. I've never watched it, but I know it was on television. I think that's sponsored by the Daily Mirror. And what God's people need is not heroes, but doers. Doers. We don't need heroes. A lot of people want to be heroes, but we need doers. And I think this man, Titius, just was happy to be a doer. He was happy just to take Paul's letter and bring it to the believers at Ephesus. And what a blessing that letter has been. Notice how Paul finished his letter, verses 23 and 24. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul says, yes, you're in a battle, and times will be difficult. There is a war that's raging, and Satan desires to wrestle with you day and night. And Paul has encouraged us to put on the whole armor and to pray. And then look how he finishes the letter. He says, peace. It's possible in the midst of the battle to have peace and love and faith and grace. It's possible for the child of God in the midst of all that's going on to have the peace and the love and the faith and the grace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I used to look at this in a way, and I've said it here many times, that if you can explain it, then it's not this peace. This peace passes all understanding. But I think it's more than that even. And I only realized this recently, and I may be wrong, but there's sometimes there's situations that happen in our lives that we don't understand. We just don't understand it. And I'm sure you've had those. And it doesn't make one bit of sense to you. You've seen what has happened. You know that the person or people involved, they're mad. They're not doing the right thing. They're going in the wrong direction. Or something has happened, circumstances in your life, and you just cannot understand it. And I think what Paul's saying is, even if you can't understand it, there's still a peace. Because this peace passes understanding. Better to have the peace than have the understanding. And maybe that's part of it as well. And I only realized that recently. I've always said to people, if it's a peace that passes understanding, if you can understand it and you should be peaceful, then this is not what Paul's talking about. And I think that's part of it too. But I think there are situations we just can't understand, and yet we can have peace in it. And only God can give us that peace. And I would say to you, that peace is more valuable than the understanding. We don't understand, we can trust him. And when you trust him, you're going to have a peace. Because he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. And peace is better than understanding. Peace and love and faith and grace. You'll not remember, because I didn't remember, but Paul began his letter to Ephesus with grace. Verse 2 says this, grace be unto you. And he finishes with grace. And it's grace the whole way through. And that just reminds me that his grace is sufficient for the battle. Whatever you're going through, the Lord will say to you, and he said to you before, and he said it to me, and I've shared it so many times, countless amount of times, his grace is sufficient for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for thy word this evening. Lord, we've spent a long time looking at the whole armor and the enemy lines. And even, Lord, when we take the book of Ephesians, we've been many, many weeks in this book. But Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the instructions and the lessons. And Lord, all the blessings we have. And yet, Lord, Paul reminds us that with all the blessings and all the abilities and all the gifts, Lord, we do need to pray. Lord, we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for the elders. We need to pray for those who are serving the Lord. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for the boys and girls. We need to pray for the older people. We're to pray for all saints. And Lord, help us to do that even tonight. And Lord, grant us liberty in the prayer meeting. And Lord, as we remember our young people who will be going off to serve thee in different places, some in this island, some indeed in other continents, Lord, will you bless them and will you keep your hand upon them? But Lord, remember others at home, lonely, bereaved, unwell. Some, Lord, tonight are just waiting on family to pass away, and how they need us to pray for them. Help us, Lord, to do as Paul has instructed. Help us to pray for all saints. So, Lord, just bless our remaining time together. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn now, as we usually do. Ronnie will come and bring the prayer requests. I'll go to the door if anyone has to leave. Just 5:32, we'll just sing a couple of verses. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. 5:32, just verses 1 and 3. We'll stand to sing. I go to the door and I say Ronnie will come and bring the necessary announcements and prayer requests for the meeting this evening. Thank you very much.